Welcome back to another edition of the MLB Whip Around. We've taken a little bit of a hiatus. We are back. We've got a lot to talk about today. Let's get into it. So, welcome back. We are officially back on the MLB Whip Around. We were supposed to do it last weekend, but not last weekend. But I was a little bit under the weather. Still a little under the weather now, but thankfully my voice is doing just normal. So, just normal. Wow.
Yeah, mine's awful. I mean, no, I'm just kidding. I'm back. I'm ready to go, and here we go. Let's do it.
Yeah, it's going to be a great week. So, this has been, I don't even remember the last time we did a Whip Around. Got to go back and look at my notes. Last MLB Whip Around
was
we
like 20 years ago.
Was April 5th. So quite the stretch, right? 14 days would take us to April 4th. It was April 4th. So we are here for the 14th edition of the MLB Whip Around. We got a lot of things to cover today. Just me and Ben. We couldn't do it yesterday. Library was closed. But we are back, and this is also the last podcast that you're going to be seeing for a few weeks because winter break starts on Thursday. Not winter. I'm sorry. I'm really out of it.
Spring break
starts on Thursday. And we're going to be off for a nice week and a half. So this is the last podcast you're going to be hearing for a while. So
for sure. Yeah.
Enjoy it. We're going to get right into MLB news. This is obviously going to be dating a little bit further back. But Luis Severino, when I wrote this down, was shut down for 6 weeks. He's now going to be out for about 5 weeks. That's a big hit for the Yankees.
Well, shut down for 6 weeks. So it's going to be no baseball activity for that amount of time.
And then he's got a rehab.
And then it's like a whole nother spring training for him, which is just like, it's the worst possible scenario for the Yanks, and
I don't think so.
Him out for what's going to look like a couple months at least, and then Dellin Betances, not in the notes here, but just wanted to give him a little shout out. He pitched in the same game, I think, a few weeks or maybe last week, and he didn't feel so well either. So he's getting another MRI. I think he got the MRI, and they said I'm going to look that up. I'll be right back to you with that piece of information. But we're dropping like flies out here, and you hate to see it. You really
yeah,
do.
That's a real killer for the Yankees. I mean, Severino, they were really banking on him being the ace. I mean, we said that the only reason why the Yankees didn't go out and make bigger moves in the offseason was because of Luis Severino, and now he's out. And the Yankees aren't looking at Keuchel. They're also not looking at Kimbrel for their atrocious bullpen. But it's been a really
Wait, are you criticizing the Yankees for not looking at Kimbrel?
No, I criticize the Mets for that, too.
Oh.
No, I agree. I don't get me wrong. I think the Mets should be going after
the
both.
The Yankees have no room for Kimbrel.
No, I know. But just they need to do something. But I think with Severino out, the Yankees have to go after Dallas Keuchel. And I think they're stupid for not. I think the Mets are stupid for not, too. But I think the Yankees really – the Yankees have a bigger need for Keuchel than the Mets do. I'll just be straight up.
It's not going to happen, though.
No, it's not. But with Severino out, the Yankees' rotation's terrible. Let's just be real. Johnny Loaisiga's like the biggest star in your rotation.
Herman's been good. CC pitched a good game. It's not really the
rotation.
Oh, I didn't
know he was even back.
We can't even get the bats going, which is a joke. And by the way, Betances has a bone spur. He got a cortisone shot.
So he'll be out for about 2 weeks.
Yeah, for a little while longer.
Yeah.
But – yeah, I mean, the pitching really hasn't been the most frustrating part. It's just they haven't really been able to get the bats going too much.
Right.
And like we said, it's more been the bullpen's problems than the actual rotation. Zach Britton has not been great. Chad Green has not been good. And it's just pretty frustrating at this point.
And the question is, because a lot of people say that the World Series hangover, hitting the Red Sox pretty hard. But they say that it's not true. But you know what? I think it's a postseason hangover in general.
No. I think...
But I don't think
the Yankees have so many injuries, dude.
Right.
The Yankees have an excuse, at least to point to. Which
yeah,
I'm not a huge fan of that excuse. But the Red Sox have nothing to point to.
But I think that the postseason could actually play into that. Because that's an extra month where you're not able to train. You know, these teams that ended in the beginning of October, they were training for that month. And they may be in a little bit better condition than some of these players that were playing that extra long time.
For the Yanks, it was like a week.
I know.
but
still, I'm saying more in terms of the Red Sox.
Yeah.
But, like, the Red Sox are saying, you know, it's not the World Series hangover, but it may not be because you won the World Series, but that plays a role because you didn't have that extra month of training. Yes, you were playing that whole month, but they're shot. And we know full well and good that after that, the Red Sox didn't do anything but party for about 3-4 weeks. So they didn't get their chance to really train until, December. So you've got players for other teams that are playing in international leagues. They're playing in the fall leagues, and they're getting their ability to play while these other guys are just sitting around enjoying themselves and not really getting to play. I mean, Mookie Betts is one of the worst hitters in baseball right now, just
it'll
based on his
that.
Lines. Yeah, I agree. I mean, he said that yesterday that what he's doing is unacceptable, and I agree. He's the star on that team, and he needs to hit, and he's not. So it's really bad. We'll get to more of Mets-Yankees talk later on if we get the chance. But, Ben, you can take on the next next little news segment.
All right. So we got Mike Clevinger, pitcher for the Indians. He's been producing pretty well for them the past couple of years. He's out 6 to 8 weeks with a back strain. I mean, what is it, 5 to 7 probably at this point now?
Yeah.
But definitely not an ideal injury.
I feel like that's always a number, 6 to 8. It's never like 5 to 7. It's always 6 to 8.
Yeah,
because
you got to get the even numbers in there, I think.
I don't know why.
You see 5 to 8 sometimes, maybe, but
yeah.
I don't know. I'm trying to get the standings loaded up right now. Are the Indians are in first place in the
they
Central?
They are not.
They're not. Minnesota's in first place. Yes. Cleveland's half a game back. So they're 9-7. Minnesota's 8-5. I mean, not really one team standing out right now in that division.
But the Twins do look very solid.
The Twins definitely look solid, but
the AL Central by far worst.
Yeah, I mean, it shouldn't hurt the Indians too bad. Is my point.
Yeah.
By the way, they called up Carlos Gonzalez, if I'm correct, didn't they?
Oh, they did. Yes, yeah. I saw that.
An interesting little low key thing there.
Yeah.
Carlos Gonzalez, obviously not the name he was 3 years ago.
Right.
But
he'll still go down in history as a really great hitter.
I think so too.
I remember the Mets wanted him for a time. He was always great. I loved him, but. Indians real big hit here. Mike Clevinger, he came off to such a strong start, left the game with a back problem. He was pitching a gem. He came out in the sixth inning, and being out for 8 weeks at most, that's a killer. I mean, especially for the Indians, they need to take this AL Central by storm, because the Twins are better this year than they were last year. And if you let them get ahead, you're just not going to come back, because. I mean, yes, the division's terrible. I mean, let's be honest. It's a horrendous division, but they have to get off to a good start. But the next thing here, big talk around baseball, probably the biggest highlight of the first few weeks, is that Chris Davis set the record for the most consecutive at-bats that a hit for a position player at 0 for 54. So he broke it. He broke it.
I think the fact that he broke it's the bigger highlight, to be honest.
Yeah, because, absolutely.
I mean, just good for that guy. He went 3 for 5 on Saturday, I think it was, when he broke it.
I believe.
4 ribbies. And then... yesterday he hit a homer, so
big homer.
What is he batting over 100 right now?
I don't think so.
Let's take a look.
If it's 120.
It's good to see him finally getting going, because baseball is a game of slumps. But I mean, that was a historic slump. He's batting 8-9 right now. 0-8-9.
Wow.
Which is,
and he's on a tear
which
too.
Which is 89 points up from 0-0-0 on April 12th. So it's April 16th.
To be honest, it may be the biggest leap in a span of 3 days in baseball this season.
Well, yeah, he's got 6 ribbies. He's 4 for his last 12. So he's batting 333 in his last 3 games. So obviously it's pretty good.
Red hot.
Yeah, but we'll call him the red hot Chris Davis.
Stud. Chris Davis officially back to his old form. No, but this was the talk. I mean, every day, all you did was, did Chris Davis get a hit yet? Did he get a hit? And then out of nowhere, you just see the tweets coming everywhere. Chris Davis got a hit. He hit. Like, they don't even say Chris Davis. They just say he got a hit. And you're like, oh my God, really? It was awesome and, a great moment for him.
Yep. So we'll move on to the next one. The Seattle Mariners, playing some good ball, did just get swept by the Houston Astros, but still playing some good baseball. They set the record with a home run in each of their first 19 games? So how many games have they played? It's 19
this,
right
it
now,
It is
right?
still
they're,
going.
They're 13-6, correct?
Their record is continuing right now.
Yeah,
they still have hit a home run in each game.
Pretty impressive. I mean, we'll see what happens. But definitely, I mean, the Mariners, like we said on our preview show before the season, we thought they were a rebuilding team. They were not going to be good. But they got out to Japan early in the season, took that sweep of Oakland, correct?
Yeah.
And they really haven't looked back from there so far. And a good start for Seattle. Definitely didn't expect it after giving up their franchise closer, their franchise infielder in Robinson Cano, but
and everybody else,
and
was good.
Literally everyone else, yeah. But definitely a much better year than expected so far for Seattle. We'll see if they keep it up. I mean, they're not going to win that division.
The Mariners have a history for doing
but,
that,
but maybe they stay in the wild card hunt. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, the Mariners do, like I said, have a history of doing that. They start off strong and then just kind of collapse. But I mean, the real underdog here is Tim Beckham. I mean, we were talking about it before the show. The guy's been on fire. I mean, he's in the top five in the majors in home runs and in RBIs. So it's really a guy comes out of nowhere. They got him from the Orioles as kind of just a fill-in position player, and he's doing great. So is Dan Vogelbach, their catcher.
Oh, yeah.
The guy's a stud. He's like the new Bartolo Colon behind the plate. People love him, and he's hitting rockets.
The new Bartolo Colon behind the plate.
He's like the new Bartolo Colon. It's crazy. But
what's his name's having a pretty good year, too, though? Mitch Haniger. Has he been good?
They all are. Yeah. It's just out of nowhere. These guys are just hitting, and their pitching's been decent.
Yeah, I mean, Haniger's already got a .9 war in less than 20 games this
year.
That's
really impressive.
It's pretty impressive.
So, yeah, the Mariners looking good. And obviously, we don't expect that to last. But if it does,
we'll
that'll be revolutionary.
It's a good story right now.
Yeah. The next thing here, which was also very revolutionary, was that Ozzie Albies gets a 7-year, $35 million extension, which classified as the worst extension in baseball history.
It's the worst extension a player's ever signed from a team standpoint. It's just like, you look at him and you're like, how did you do this? This is your franchise shortstop and you barely paid him. But,
second base.
That's what I meant, second baseman.
Yeah, no, I was trying to figure that out myself.
With the Acuna's there. Oh, no, Swanson's there. Swanson, yeah. You know what I meant.
Yeah, no, I got
I'm
you.
Not, you're the NL East guy in the in these parts, but...
these here parts.
Definitely, 7 years, $35 million, that's $5 million a year.
Yeah.
For your,
Salvador Perez...
Baseman. I don't want to mess it up again.
Yeah.
But, they're saying this is the worst deal a player has ever put pen to paper and signed. I mean, good for the franchise. They signed Acuna for, 10 years, 100 mil, what was it?
I believe so.
And they get Albies for 7 years, 35 mil. They're going to have a lot of surplus money when these big free...
They're going to be in great condition.
The big free agent class just happened, but when the next bunch of free agents comes around, they'll have a lot of money to spend. And definitely great from a team standpoint. A little baffling for Albies and his agent. I mean, should fire that guy. But
yeah. You know what I noticed is that they signed Donaldson for 1 year. And you know who's on the market this year? Anthony Rendon. He's going to be hitting the market. The Braves have seen him a lot. I would be very surprised if they don't go after him. I think that may have been in their sights when they signed Donaldson to that one-year contract. But honestly, I forgot who said it. I think it was John Heyman who said that, who brought up the Salvador Perez contract. He got a 5-year, $6 million extension earlier in his career, which is, that's really atrocious for him. But I think overall, just Ozzie Albies, he hasn't been as great as people really think he is. I mean, he's been kind of slumping a lot in these last few months, especially going into last year. He's been a little bit off. But
yeah, but he's still a guy at his age where you look at him, he's – how old is he right now?
He's 23.
Let's give it a quick Google. He is 22 years
22.
Old. And he turned 22 in January. So
oh, wow.
He's a guy. You look at him, he's definitely a part of your future.
Yeah.
You have faith in him. And to give him – that sort of deal, I'm really surprised he signed it, especially.
Yeah.
But it is what it is. Can't go back now. Good for both him and the team for locking it up, I guess.
Yeah.
But move on to the next bullet point here. This is part of the highlights also, but I'm just gonna bring it up right now. Yasiel Puig coming back to LA, hitting that homer off of Kershaw. What was it, in the first inning?
Mm-hmm.
He took him
his
deep.
First home run of the season.
He
too.
Took him deep too.
Oh yeah, it was.
Puig's.
And it was Kershaw's first game back, too.
Mike wrote in the outline here, Puig and Kemp returned to LA tonight, and Puig is fired up. Yeah, Puig's about as fired up as a guy you're going to get. And when he went yard off his former teammate, I don't think they have any bad blood or anything. Definitely not.
He was straight.
He didn't leave. But
he is mad at the Dodgers organization.
Think so, too. That was definitely a little maybe poetic justice for him, going yard off maybe one of the best pitchers of the generation. And
the best.
He's probably out of his prime at this point, but at his best, come on. But definitely a good moment for Puig there, and not really much more to say about that except good for him. And
I wrote that yesterday, fired up in the intention of doing the whip around yesterday, because he said before the game that he is looking to go deep in his first game back. He was excited to go home. He said that he has not been producing offensively for the Reds, but hopes to get his season kick started in LA. And he did just that, hitting a huge home run. We'll get to more of those highlights later on. And the last little point here, Ben, this I know hits hard at home for you not hard at home. It just kind of is another,
it is what it is.
It's a little tally mark. Greg Bird hitting the DL. Matt Vasgersian said the DL on the ESPN game Sunday night. And I was like, huh, wow, you're getting paid to say the right things, and you're saying DL. So
yeah, the DL does sound better than the IL. I mean, the disabled part definitely will offend some people. I totally get that. But DL, IL, everyone knows what you're talking about when you bring up one or the other. But Bird, I mean, the man's made of glass, and this was expected to happen at one point or another.
It's just every year. Like, when's he going
to
get hurt?
Yeah, I mean, we're calling up. I mean, I'm sick of the whole Bird experiment, to be real. But he did hit that big homer against Andrew Miller. Props to him for that. But let's just say it's been pretty much a total failure so far. Bringing up Mike Ford, guys hit over 400 so far in AAA.
Wow.
So we'll see what happens with that. But definitely, what is it, 13 guys on the IL now for the Yanks?
Yeah, I think so.
I'm pretty sure it's 13. It's at least 12.
And they're all really good, too.
I mean, yeah, you got an MVP on the DL, you got or the IL. You got a Rookie of the Year runner-up on the IL.
Wait, Glaber's on the IL, too?
No. He was third place. Andujar, Rookie of the Year runner-up.
All right, done. Yeah. Is he, though, on the IL?
No,
Glaber?
Glaber's in the lineup.
He's just not hitting.
But, yeah, it's definitely a frustrating time for the Yanks, and you can use it as an excuse. I'd prefer not to. I'd prefer to look at managing and just lack of production. But it is what it is. I mean, can't really talk about that too much. Don't want to
get their
trainers. Don't want to beat a dead horse. Yeah, we got to get the trainers together. I mean, come on. You coming out of spring training to have 13 guys in the IL is just a joke. Let's be real.
The Mets had like 20 at one point, like 2 years ago, and then they immediately fired all the trainers. I was like, good. I was like, that's well necessary. But it doesn't change the fact that these guys are out for the year. I mean, there was a point where in 2017 where Jacob DeGrom was the only pitcher on the pitching staff who had pitched more than a year in the big leagues. It was really atrocious. But we move on to the hitter, pitcher, and team of the week. We start off with the hitter of the week here. My hitter of the week, Austin Meadows of the Tampa Bay Rays, batted .546 in the last 7 days with 4 home runs and 11 RBIs. He won the AL Player of the Week yesterday, granted that by the Major League Baseball. So good for him. I mean, he really has been hitting great, and he's a big spark plug for those Rays.
Yeah, definitely a good choice there. My guy, I'm going to go with one of the best players in the game, Jose Altuve. He's up to .328 right now, batting average. He's got 7 homers, 13 ribbies, and man, he destroyed the Yankees. In a 3-game series against the Yankees last Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, he went 5-for-12 with, what is that, 4 homers and 5 RBIs, which is pretty impressive. I mean, he hit one off Tanaka. I'm not sure it landed in Houston yet. But he continued that success in Seattle, a couple multi-hit games, and then went 1-for-4 on Sunday. But it's hard not to go with Altuve here. Definitely a generational type of a guy when you look at him. It's the smallest guy you'll ever see on a baseball field. But very impressive from him, and just overall a great week from Altuve.
Yeah, and a little bit of a nugget here for Austin Meadows. Not many people know this, but when the Mets traded Ike Davis to the Pirates, he was traded for a player to be named later, and there was circulation and speculation that it was going to be Austin Meadows, but it ended up not being Austin Meadows. But could you imagine having the Mets having Austin Meadows on their team right now, producing the way that he is? That would have been pretty cool, but that was also like 5 years ago. But yeah, so that was my little bit of information. Not many people know that. I was pretty surprised. But my pitcher of the week here has got to go to Luis Castillo, the rising star for the Reds. He's got a 1.5 ERA in his last 2 starts with 15 strikeouts. So Luis Castillo last year had a terrible year. I remember when he was called up, everyone thought he was going to be great. Him and Hunter Green, they're going to be studs in the future. I can't wait for Hunter Green to be
on
there.
Well, we'll see. We'll see with this injury.
I still can't wait to see what he does in the big leagues. He's going to be up way before anybody really should be. He's going to be up in at least 2 years of minor league experience. I think that he's going to be a generational player. But Luis Castillo, I also have really good eyes for. I think he's going to be a really good player. And the Reds have a really bright pitching rotation for their future.
Yeah, definitely, for sure. But my guy here, we'll catch you off guard a little bit. He's leading the MLB on ERA with a 0.00 ERA. Joe Musgrove actually has a 1-1 record. So he lost at Chicago last Thursday through 6 1/3, 6 strikeouts. But no earned runs, but he did lose that game. And Friday, April 5th, that was also since our last show, had 7 innings in a W with 8 strikeouts. So he's 1-1 right now. Obviously, the 0.00 ERA really pops out. I mean, we talked about it last year with DeGrom. The wins and losses don't really matter. What, do you have a losing record by multiple games and still won the Cy Young in a landslide?
No, I think he actually did have a winning record, but it was very close. I think it was 9-8.
9-8. But definitely, the wins and losses didn't really decide that thing anymore. That stat has become less meaningful to the people who write about baseball,
unless you're the San Diego Padres guy.
It still matters to the pitchers, though, yeah, for sure. But definitely good stuff from Joe Musgrove there. I'm not a big war guy, not a big analytic guy, but he's got a 0.8 war so far for a pitcher in 2019. I mean, pretty impressive now.
Yeah, really, for a pitcher, too.
I mean, his career war is 2.8, and he's got 0.8 of that this year. So
that's really good.
Yep, it is what it is. But
yeah.
Okay, we'll go team of the week here. My team of the week will go with the AL East leading Tampa Bay Rays. Last week I went with the Orioles, or a couple weeks ago.
I remember that.
They had a good start, though. It was well deserved.
Another like fourth.
They're second, actually. They're ahead of the Yanks.
Really?
They're 7-10.
Really,
the Tampa's 12-4, 5-2 at home, 7-2 on the road. They have not lost a series yet this year. So I mean, that's just the easy choice for me to make my team of the week. But,
yeah.
Mike, who do you got?
I've got the Houston Astros, best team in baseball right now, 5-0 in their last 7 days. They've scored 30 runs and have only allowed 18, which means that they're on a 30-18 little clip there for their overall scoring. Pretty impressive. The Astros are now on a 9-game winning streak. They hope to continue that today. Well, yeah, today. So that'll be a pretty cool thing to see if they can keep that little winning streak up, maybe contest with the Indians there. But now we're going to go and crank through the highlights here. We don't have a ton, but the ones that we do have are pretty interesting. Starting it off with this happened way back, basically like the day after.
Should we just like cut this list in half right now?
No, we can do it. All we right. can do it. These things are good. Jorge Polanco hit for the first cycle of the 2019 year. It was a pretty cool thing for the Minnesota Twins. He almost hit for another one against the Mets, but Polanco, pretty good thing for him. He's hoping to get his career kind of going, and big thing for him.
Yeah, I mean, this one happened a couple weekends ago. Gary Sanchez went yard for not one, not two, but three dingers. He was off to some start until he got injured, of course, and was another member of the IL. Whatever. I mean, it is what it is.
They should just start handing out tickets. Hey, you want to go to the IL? The next thing up here was a very big thing when it happened, was the brawl in Pittsburgh between the Reds and the Pirates. Don't really need to break it down here, but basically Derek Dietrich pimped his home run, stared at it for a while. Chris Archer hit him. And then Yasiel Puig came out.
Puig was getting in there.
He was
throwing haymakers.
He was heated. It was a Puig versus Pittsburgh kind of thing. I mean, he was the only guy out there just throwing fists, and people were holding them back, but it was a really great thing to watch.
Next headline would say a little – oh, sorry, I skipped on there. But we'll go Pujols passes Ichiro on the hit list. No way that's including Ichiro's overseas hits, only the MLB ones.
Yeah.
Ichiro with those hits in Japan has got, what, over 4,000 this year?
Yeah, I think so.
Unreal. But definitely some accomplishment for Albert Pujols, one of the best players in the games when we were growing up, and definitely his career is taking a back seat now, but definitely an impressive achievement there for Albert Pujols.
Yeah, and the next thing up here, another very cool achievement.
This is the one I almost read.
Yeah, Josh Hader of the Milwaukee Brewers. Their stud closer got an 8-out save. This was about a week and a half ago. He just hurled a gem. I mean, 8-out save is just, that's already unheard of. But this guy's just, he's setting new limits for closers in baseball. He's a stud. He's going to be around for a while.
Yeah, definitely. And the next one here, Edwin Encarnacion hits two home runs in one inning. Pretty impressive. You know, you got to bat around and you got to hit two home runs in two consecutive at-bats. I didn't see the at-bats, but they...
Were they
pimp shots? Did he?
The second one he pimped. The second one, it was in Kansas City. It was bomb way back
into the fountain.
No, it was left field. It almost hit the. It was way over the bullpen. It was really a shot. I could be completely wrong, but that's just how my memory is telling me what it was.
Interesting, but Encarnacion definitely got raw power. Mike, I'll let you read the next one. I enjoyed watching this one. But
Lourdes Gurriel Jr. of the Toronto Blue Jays, part of that really young Blue Jays team, went and stole home against Chris Sale. I'm sure you definitely enjoyed that because it was against the Red Sox. But really, you don't see people steal home much, but when it happens, it's a huge headline, and it stays in the headlines for a few days. People break it down. How did it happen? You know, but he just caught Chris Sale sleeping, went and swiped home. It was a really great play and a really awesome thing for Lourdes Gurriel Jr.
Yeah, definitely fun to watch. The next one here, Mike, your favorite player in the league, Roman Laureano. He did it again.
It's Ramon?
Ramon, sorry.
Yeah, sorry.
But whatever. If I pronounce his name wrong, I called him a great player.
I'm just saying it because he's.
What'd he do here for the second time of the week? I'm assuming he lasered some guy at third. Yeah. I mean, he makes these plays like every three nights. So
he's a hose.
Yeah, I don't mean
the guy's a the guy. Just, he needs some fire truck
lights. Just look up his highlights. You can see his awesome throws there for Oakland in the outfield.
Yeah, he is really – I'm getting one of his shirts. I have to. The next thing here, Bryce Harper and his return to Washington. Wait, no, never mind. We talked about that already. This was when he homered off of Steven Strasburg last week. He hit a bomb off of Steven Strasburg, the number one pick, hitting it off the other number one pick from the previous year. Pretty big thing. I believe that was the second time that ever happened. And then in that game, Victor Robles tied the game in the top of the ninth inning against Philadelphia. He hit a 2-2, two-out home run to tie the game against the Phillies. And then Juan Soto hit a bomb to right field that I believe was foul, but it was a three-run shot.
That was some game, though.
Yeah, it was. It was really a crazy game, but a big game there for the Nationals to be able to win that.
Next highlight here, Whit Merrifield extends hitting streak to 30-plus games. Is this still ongoing?
I have no idea.
I think I'm pretty
sure. This was from, like, last week.
I'm pretty sure it snapped. But
I'll have to look at that.
Just got to give a little shout-out to Luke Voit. He had a very long on-base streak. It was 26 games over the weekend. Don't know if he continued that or not. We got the NBA and NHL playoffs on. I can't be watching the Yankees just rot and lose to the teams like the Chicago White Sox. But impressive stuff there from Merrifield. Mike, the next one here.
Yeah, Jerod Dyson for the Diamondbacks hit a bomb of a pinch-hit walk-off two-run home run. That's probably like his 10th home run of his career. I mean, the guy does not hit for power at all. If you know anything about Jerod Dyson, the guy's amazing legs but no arms. But he hit an absolute rocket. We watched it here in the studio. But it was quite the beauty of a home run.
Yeah, for sure. But next highlight here, we'll go with Billy Hamilton. Scores from second on a sack fly. Can't say I saw this highlight.
It was very interesting. It was understandable.
Was there a throwaway?
No, it wasn't a throwaway. The guy caught it and he fell down. So he like tripped. He caught it. It was a big play. He hit the wall and fell.
It's noteworthy though, for sure.
Yeah, I mean you're gonna see that. It's like a once every few years kind of thing. The next thing, Germán Márquez coming off his brand new contract extension. He threw a gem for the Rockies, a one-hit complete game shutout. It was a beauty. I don't remember who it was against, but it was a really great game. And congratulations to him for quite the excelling start there for the Rockies.
Yeah, I mean, next one, Puig, we already talked about it. I mean, can I just go into the next one here?
Yeah, go ahead.
But Christian Yelich homers three times. I mean, Yelich, generational guy. I use that term a lot, but he really is.
No, there are quite a few.
He really is one of the faces of the game, and really continuing his production from his MVP season last year.
And he was off to a slow start. He had four home runs.
But Yelich, definitely a fun guy to watch.
And then the last part here, right before we get on to the last bit, Jock Peterson hitting a beauty of a walk-off home run here. So that'll do it. For the first time we're ever now going to get to the division leaders. We have not done this yet this year because we've just had too many highlights. We are not getting to the Mets and Yankees talk yet. But division leaders here, I'm proud to say, starting off the NL East, the New York Mets sitting atop by only a half a game. But, man, I just have to say, this NL East, though, it is living up to the hype. It is the best division in baseball right now. So contentious. I mean, the top four teams are all separated by two games, which is by far the best in baseball. So you got to love that. The NL East is going to – I said it yesterday when I was watching. I said, man, this NL East is going to come down to the last week of the season when these guys are just going to be battling it out. We're not going to have a magic number until, like, the last 2 weeks. It's going to be crazy.
I got Miami coming out on top. I'm just kidding. But, yeah.
I think if Miami won the division, there would be
– there'd be outrage.
Not even outrage. I don't even know what would happen. But yeah. It's not.
I don't know. NL Central here. Got the Brewers in first, up 1.5 games on Pittsburgh. Milwaukee's 11-6.
I forgot to mention the Mets are 10-6.
Which is interesting. Milwaukee's 11-6, and they have a -3 run difference.
I know. I just saw that. Wait a minute.
So they are 500 games.
And the only team in the division.
And they have been outscored this season. Really interesting.
And the only team that's been outscored this season in their division. So
that's why run differential is definitely like
doesn't really matter.
An interesting stat to look at.
Yeah, really, really strange. And another look at the NL West. The Padres lead the NL West at 11-7 with a -6 run differential, and the Dodgers sit in second, who have been really bad lately, with a +23 as the only team in the NL West with a positive run differential. I don't know how that's even possible in division to have that many teams with a negative run differential, but that's really, really weird.
Yeah, it really is something to look at. We'll shift to the AL East. We talked about him before. Tampa Bay
running away already.
come on, you can't say they're running away with the division.
Five and a half games.
It's a lot. It's definitely a gap to make up, but we'll see what happens. I think mid-May, if they're up like 15 games or 10 games, then you could say they're running away with it maybe. But Tampa Bay definitely impressive so far. They're 12-4.
And then, as we mentioned before, with the AL Central, the worst division in baseball, the Minnesota Twins, 8-5 lead that. I mean, like I said before, we don't really need to talk much about it, but their offense looks pretty solid to start off the season.
Yep, and the last team, we talked about them earlier, the Seattle Mariners, they got that home run record going for them. They are 13-6, half a game up on Houston. Definitely an impressive year from them. Can't say no one expected that. Can't say anyone expected that, excuse me.
Yeah, and that, as I said to you before, technically the Astros are leading the division. I mean, on MLB at bat, they have the Astros in first, but they are half a game back.
I'm looking at ESPN. They're half a game back. But,
okay.
The Astros do have a higher winning percentage than Seattle.
Yeah. So it's very interesting there. But great whip around today. Baseball is looking great. I mean, I'm so stoked for the way that this season's going so far. I mean, everything is falling into place for the Mets. And across baseball, it's just been a really very just obscure start to the season. But all around, baseball's a great sport. Got to love it.
Yep, and that'll do it for us this week. We don't have a podcast tomorrow, or on Thursday, excuse me, because we don't have school. So I'm just going to read off some credits here like we normally do. And as always, we'd like to thank the following people: Mr. Doxy, Mr. Ashuti, Dr. Catapano, the administration, the Board of Education, our audience listens every week. It's Tuesday. I was going to say every Thursday. But and finally, thank you to the class of 2016 for their very generous donation towards our podcast setup. Good show today, Mike. MLB whip around. Good to get back on the grind. But that'll do it for us this week. Alongside Mikey Stats, Garaffa, I'm Benjamin Dixon. We will see you next week.